When Ron meets Diane Lewis, what is he fixing for her? Answer at the end of the episode.
I would like to go on record, speaking as a citizen of Pawnee.
I'm Kurt Hapley, and I just realized I'm not holding my microphone.
And I will call my new Italian fast casual eatery the Local Calzone Zone.
You can trust me, because I don't care enough about you to lie.
Everything I do is the attitude of an award winner, because I've won an award.
I made my money the old-fashioned way. I got run over by a Lexus.
Hello, and welcome to Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast where I discuss anything and everything from character breakdowns to episode rewatches, as well as some other trivia and tidbits about the show. My name's Brian, and I'll be your host. This is episode number 114, being recorded Sunday, April 7th, 2024, and today I'm going to be talking about Season 4, Episode 12, Campaign Ad. If you'd like to contact the show, you can email citizensofpawnee@gmail.com. You can also follow and message the show on Instagram at Citizens of Pawnee Podcast, as well as my other page at Parks Rec Memes. And just a reminder that this podcast will have full spoilers for the entire series. Oh, let's talk about cicadas. So, hello, everyone, by the way. how's it going? So I just, all over the place here. So in the next like month or so, in the Midwest, in the United States, at least, I haven't done any research outside of this. I don't know if this is global or what. It's not global, obviously, because it's just going to be like half the United States. But anyway, from pretty much like where I'm at in the Midwest over to like the East Coast, there's a huge cicada swarm that's coming in like May. And I don't know if cicadas are native to like all the continents. So like, Teresa, let me know. I could Google all this stuff, but what the hell's the point of that? I mean, like, when I could just get the info firsthand by Googling it. Anyway, this is kind of weird. I've never they say this is like a 17-year thing. I don't remember this happening 17 years ago, at least to the point they're talking about, where I mean it's going to be billions upon billions of cicadas just flying around everywhere and like covering like our sidewalks and shit like that. And I mean, like, they're harmless, which is good, but it's still gross, like, if one flies into you. I mean, because, like, cicadas are, God, they're about, like, an inch and a quarter long. I mean, and they're kind of bulky. So it's like, man, if one of those things, like, flies and hits you, like, in the forehead, it's going to feel like someone tossed, like, a rock at you. not through it, just kind of, like, tossed it. But I don't know. It's kind of gross. I've seen a couple videos with like people sweeping off their front porches, and I mean just like piles of like dead and like semi alive cicadas. It's gross. So I think what I'm gonna do, no joke, I'm my leaf blower, I'm gonna have that inside the house, and then just like, as you know, myself or any of the family members like needs to leave, even if we gotta like let Lucy out or whatever, I'm just gonna just, you know, like use the leaf blower and just like clear out the sidewalks, the back porch and whatever. And like, I don't know if they're going to be like all over the grass and shit too, because I'm going to be cutting the lawn. I don't care, man. If these things get in the way, it's just going to, it's going to be nuts. It's going to be pretty disgusting, actually. So maybe not. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, things I got to worry about. And then also my hair's starting to grow back. So it's starting to, I don't know. I hate this point. Like, after I've shaved, again, it's been a long time since I've had a shaved head, but it's at the point, anyone who's ever done this before, when you take it all like one level, you know, like you don't, you're not working on the sides or anything, when you're just completely shaving it, when it all starts to grow back, you know, it comes back pretty much the same way the whole way around. I don't know, unless you have like certain parts of your head where like the hair just doesn't grow as fast. And I said my hair grows pretty fast. It's been 2.5 weeks. Obviously, it's not back to the point where I need a haircut, but it's to the point where it's like, I'm gonna, in the next week or so, I'm gonna really have to consider getting this like cleaned up, at least like the sides, because it looks, I don't know, I don't like it when it all grows back the same. Even if it's like you don't need it cut on top, when it starts looking kind of weird, all the hair just like the same, like, I don't know. So I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have my awkward conversation with the lady at the salon, like always. And oh God, I need you, everyone who knows Joni, my wife, I need you to reach out and just be like, man, Bri's hair looked great when it was shaved. You don't have to be like, hey, he told us to reach out to you. Just like, you know, out of nowhere, out of context, just be like, hey, tell him to keep his head shaved. I don't know. Sorry, this intro sucks. We'll do some quick filler.
Everything he's saying is nonsense, and he's fooling them.
So I know I keep saying, like, quick filler. Like, last week, I think it was, like, or the Titanic one. I was like, yeah, quick filler. Was that last week? I don't know. That was, like, way too long. These will be fast. It's two TV shows. The first one is Invincible. It's on Amazon Prime. It's a cartoon. It is a superhero cartoon. Now, you can compare it to, like, The Boys, but really, like, The Boys is more of a satire. Invincible is more just, like, a very, I mean, like, I wouldn't say satire, except that they satirize a lot of the superheroes. Like, a lot of the ones they use, they kind of, like, mimic, and, like, they're kind of joking off of, like, DC and Marvel. But Invincible, unlike The Boys, this one relies, and The Boys does too, but The Boys is also just like very, I keep saying it, The Boys. That one is more like, there's a lot of like shock humor and stuff, a lot of nudity and a lot of sexual things that you're just like, yeah, shocked to see. Invincible relies very heavily on the graphic violence. Again, though, it is a cartoon. And they can do a lot more. They did. It was pretty good. There was an episode. And now I'm talking about Invincible Season 2, Part 2, because the first half came out like a couple, like a month or two ago. And then they just finished it up now. But there was a really funny episode where they're like, yeah, you know what? It's kind of hard being a writer or being an animator for a TV show. And they started doing all this like meta stuff about like, you know, when it's too hard, when we want to save some money, we cover up the guy's mouth. So, and then we just do ADR. So you can't see the mouth moving, but it looks like that person's actually talking. And they're like, kind of, they do it in the episode later to just, so it was kind of funny. It was a nice homage out of nowhere, or not homage, like an ode to animation, like for drawers for like movies and TV shows and stuff, like to give them some credit because it's like, it's hard to do, but it was cool. But the show, I don't know. I feel like kind of, where the hell are we in this show that we didn't really get much further. That's the problem. I mean, I guess we kind of did, but maybe not in the 8 episodes. So, but Invincible, like if you like superhero shows, if you like animation, if you haven't watched the show, it's on Amazon, like I said, and it's really good. It's very, very violent. It's got an awesome cast. As far as Parks and Rec, Jason Mantzoukas is on it. He plays Rexplode. And it's Dennis Feinstein, obviously, from Parks and Rec. So, yeah, check out Invincible. There's 2 seasons on Amazon. And then the other one I wanted to talk about is The Ones Who Live, which is the third of the character spinoffs from the Walking Dead. The first one being Negan and Maggie, the second one being Daryl Dixon, and then this one is Rick and Michonne. Rick left the show at the end of, I think, like season 9 or 10, when he blew up on a bridge, and we thought, like, the reports were that he was getting killed off. However, at first, it was like, oh, man, he's dead. He blew up. But then, spoilers for anyone who hasn't watched The Walking Dead, sorry. But, I mean, the proper show has been over for, like, 1.5-2 years. He didn't die. He got abducted, I guess, or kind of, like, kidnapped and then traded away. So we find out what's been going on with Rick, because there was a time jump right after that on the show, too, for 5 years. So it's been, like, 6 years that we haven't seen Rick Grimes. And if you watch The Walking Dead, it as bad as it started getting around like season 7 or whatever, he was still a bright, shiny point of that show. Andrew Lincoln was great as Rick Grimes. I did read the comic books pretty far. I didn't like read it all the way to the end, but I thought the character was fantastic. And I think Andrew Lincoln did great as the character. A lot of other great characters. Danai Gurira, she plays Michonne. So this is their kind of love story is what they coined it as. And, Yeah, I could see that because, like, I wanted this to be a lot more action-packed, and it's, like, just better. I don't know. I mean, I would continue to watch this one. The other ones I don't really care about. The Negan and Maggie and then the Daryl Dixon one, I don't care because those were shit. This one, like, at least it's, and it was six episodes, this one I'm talking about now. At least it started off good. The first two episodes were good because it showed us what Rick was up to, like, this whole time. And then it kind of showed us what Michonne's been like. Because she left the show after Andrew Lincoln, but still before it actually ended. So Michonne was gone for, like, the last, I don't know, handful of episodes, maybe even more. So we haven't seen either of them in a while. And it was awesome to see those characters back and then just seeing them do their thing because they're so badass together. And that was just a big theme of this series, how dangerous these two are when they're together and like how like pretty much like nothing is, you know, like unstoppable. Like it's so The Ones Who Live, I would say, yeah, I recommend it if you're a Walking Dead fan. There's like three episodes, maybe if you even kind of count the second episode, there's a lot of dead weight in here where you're just like, fucking, let's get moving. Like, so it can get a little frustrating, but at the end, spoiler, I'm not going to say what happens, but you do pretty much get the ending you're hoping for. So it's pretty good in that sense. But yeah, they didn't say anything about, I haven't heard anything about them continuing this story, but I really do think they're gonna, because the reviews and the ratings for this show were much higher than the Negan and Daryl one. And I think those already got, you know, like greenlit to go on. So I'm pretty sure this will too. So anyway, Invincible season one and two, check those out. And then yeah, The Ones Who Live. If you're not fed up with The Walking Dead yet, I know there's a lot of people that just said fuck it a long time ago. I get it, and that's totally fine. But I'm just saying this one is better than the other two, and it's good to have these characters back. So yeah, I'd give it a light recommend. But anyway, let's get into Parks and Rec season 4, episode 12, Campaign Ad, directed by Dean Holland, written by Alan Yang.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next city councilor for the great city of Pawnee, Bobby Newport.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, thanks, guy.
Hey, all right. Hi, I'm Bobby Newport. You know, we're 2 days into this campaign, and so far it's going great. In fact, I don't know why they call it a campaign, because up until now it's been a camp pleasure. All right, hey, why don't we line up for autographs and free Bobby bars?
That's right, folks. Bobby Newport has arrived. He's one of the most popular characters on the show. He's played by one of my favorite actors, Paul Rudd, and he will appear in 4 more episodes, including the Parks and Rec special episode. I love. No, for that Parks and Rec special episode, I was thinking about the other day because John Glazer, who plays Jeremy Jam, he was on Parks and Recollection last week, and he was on that the special episode as well. And like Mo Collins was in it. I think Jason Mantzoukas was too, Dennis Feinstein. I love, first of all, that these people, like, that they were called back because they're that great of characters. But Bobby Newport, again, Jason Mantzoukas as well as Dennis Feinstein. Bobby Newport, obviously a much more liked character. He was in just a handful, 4 or 5 episodes. I mean, like, you know, that's it. But I mean, he made just such a great impact. And Paul Rudd is just such a fantastic actor. And he's like another Tom Cruise in that sense that it's like, this guy just does not age. I mean, he looks fantastic. He's like 52. I think I saw on Instagram, I think, or Facebook, maybe it was like, Wilfred Brimley at 52 and then Paul Rudd at 52. And it's like, you know, what Wilfred Brimley looks like, and it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like he's always looked like that. And then, yeah, strangely enough, Paul Rudd has always looked how he does at 52. It's just insane. Okay, so anyway, we find out that Bobby just entered the race and he's already 70 points ahead of everyone else. He has a great advantage considering his family owns Sweetums and employs about half the town. Leslie and Ben introduce themselves and Bobby has no idea who they are. In fact, he thinks he's running unopposed. So that's kind of interesting. I don't know if that's just like arrogance. I mean, like, obviously it is arrogance on the Newport side just to be like, yeah, don't worry. You know, there's no one you got to worry about, or you're running unopposed. But yeah, I mean, like, they clearly haven't met Leslie Knope. And, you know, like, it's just like upon the introduction very early on, Bobby, like, he's very friendly, but maybe like a bit of an airhead. We don't know that just yet. But then he actually, when Leslie introduces herself as Leslie Knope, and he's like, oh, okay, do you want me to sign that to Nesney or Nesney Lope or whatever? Like, he mixes up the L and the N sounds in her name, and she's just like, what the hell? Like, so it's kind of funny, but yeah, he just like dismisses her very quickly. And there's a funny scene when he, with running unopposed, when he looks back at like his security, and he's like, no, I'm running on a pose, aren't I? And he looks back at this dude, and the dude doesn't even like acknowledge what Bobby said. I think it's pretty much just like he was told to just stand back there, don't say a word, look tough, and like, obviously if something happens, you know, be security. But it's so funny because Bobby turns around and asks him a question, and the guy doesn't even make eye contact with Bobby. It's almost like he's a robot. It's hilarious. All right. So we start off with a sick burn from April to Anne when she asks if Anne is still a nurse or if she was fired for sleeping with all the staff. So I didn't mention this is in Anne's office. So April and Andy just walk right in. April just has this like smart ass comment to Anne. And then, yeah, it's just Anne. She kind of gives it right back to her. She's just like, you want to try that again? All right, so the reason April and Andy are in Anne's office, we find out that Andy was hanging his gold record, the one that Leslie got him for Christmas a couple of episodes ago. And so he was up there with the hammer, and while he was standing on the chair, he sneezed and he smacked his head on the wall. And, you know, April's just like, oh my God, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, no problem. And then he just goes to he swings the hammer, just makes a hole out of nowhere, and then just falls off the chair because he is concussed. So, of course, it's great physical comedy, whether it's by Chris Pratt, looks very much like it is by Chris Pratt. However, if it's a stunt, you know, stunt actor, it's hilarious just the way he falls off the chair. So then Anne gets April again after like a really shitty comment from April. I know, April, Andy, Anne, Andy, April. It's confusing. So yeah, Anne just kind of says to April, she's like, why don't you guys just go to the doctor? You have insurance. April, not knowing they have insurance, is like, hey, smartass, we don't have insurance. And then Anne just gets her right back. She's like, hey, smartass, you do have insurance. So I love this side of Anne as well, just basically like giving it right back to April, because it's like, I don't have to be nice to this person when she's just gonna like go out of her way to be like extra shitty to me. So yeah, so I mean, like, I guess that's something that Andy and April never even thought about, even though they have probably signed papers for this. It's insurance, you know, so obviously they have it. But Andy has a great line because he's like, well, you know, you're both kind of wrong because insurance is for automobiles. So it is kind of funny because, like, I guess to someone who does, you know, like Andy, yeah, it's just like, oh, car insurance is the only thing you actually need. But there's like insurance for everything now. It's insane. All right, so over to Knope headquarters, which is April, Andy, and Ben's house, we see the first of a few of Bobby Newport's ads. So it's a great visual on the TV. It just says vote Knope Newport at the end, and then it's just like paid for by Bobby Newport's dad. Like, it doesn't say that, but there's the disclaimer underneath. It's just so pathetic, and so like, it just makes Bobby even seem more like a little kid when it says like paid for by Bobby Newport's dad. You know, they might as well have just put like daddy. All right, Ben has an idea, though. He thinks they should make an attack ad on Bobby during the halftime show of the Pawnee versus Eagleton basketball game, which in Pawnee is about as popular as the Super Bowl, Ben talks about. It is funny because he, like, shows the newspaper and everyone's just like, oh, they're, like, interested immediately because it's, like, the Pawnee-Eagleton, which there is an episode later on, the Pawnee-Eagleton tip-off classic, so this is a big deal. You know, because the two towns hate each other, obviously. So everyone's pretty excited about the thought of an attack ad, except Leslie. So this part, I just have to call kind of BS here, because Leslie the whole crew is over at, you know, they're at the house, and Leslie's just like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Ben's got this great idea. Ben didn't discuss this with Leslie, apparently, because now she's hearing this for the first time and she's like, oh, it's like, this is kind of a big deal. Why is he introducing this idea to her at the same time as like her, the team? So I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me that they didn't talk about this beforehand. So yeah, it's kind of weird. All right. Over to Ron's office, Chris tells him that he has a meeting at Public Works and he hopes that Ron will sit in with him because he has to make some big budget cuts. At first, Ron is uninterested until he hears budget cuts, and then suddenly his schedule opens up. So you have to remember, Chris doesn't like confrontation, and that's why Ben's always been like bad cop. We got this at the end of season two, and then I guess kind of early on in season three as well. When Ben, well, especially like when they first introduced Chris and Ben, because Chris is like so friendly. And I just watched that episode the other day. It was great. And Leslie's like, oh my God, like meeting Chris Traeger, it's like staring into the sun. Like she was in a trance. It's so good. But then Ben's the one that has to stick around and be like, hey, can I talk to you guys? And that's when he's just like a complete asshole. You know, Leslie's like, oh, I thought we were just going to have some budget cuts. And Ben's like, no, that's a nice way of saying we're going to gut it with a machete. So yeah, I do kind of like here that Chris invites Ron because he doesn't have Ben there to be like the hard ass. And Ron's just like, of course, like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll do it. All right. So now we're at the hospital where Andy gets a checkup from Dr. Harris. He tells Andy it's only a minor concussion, but then asks if there's anything else. When Andy says no, Dr. Harris is just like, oh, he's about to like kind of let him go. And then Andy's just like, actually, you know what? There's just a couple things. So he lists off his ailments, which include a rash under his right knee. He says that his tongue doesn't taste anything. His ankles make a rattling noise when he walks. He has fuzzy vision. And then he says that he broke his thumb on the way there. And this is like pretty gnarly because he's listing off all this stuff and he's just like, I broke my hand on the way. And he puts it up and his hand looks gnarly. I mean, like there's just like a purple and blue, like just kind of pattern that surrounds like the palm part where his thumb is, you know, that just like goes up into the finger. And it's just so great. He's just like, oh, he broke my thumb. I don't know. Fix me, doc, you know. And Dr. Harris he's like I can help you with the hand, and I'm gonna have to write your referrals for the other 1,000 things. And of course, you know, typical April, you know, smart ass April, thanks for nothing, Dr. Harris, you got it. He's such an awesome character because he doesn't give a shit about anything. Oh, I mean, he does about his patients, but there's maybe it's in this season, I don't remember, but the one when Ron gets sick and Anne makes him go see Dr. Harris, and Dr. Harris is just, he comments on how Ron's like his favorite patient because there's like no conversation. It's basically just Ron like, I don't want to be here. Dr. Harris is kind of like, I know you don't want to be here. Let's make this quick, perfect. Yeah. Anyway, so we'll get to that later though. Back over to NOPE headquarters, we see another Bobby Newport commercial, more so just showing us how like out of touch he is with middle class America, and like especially Pawnee, because he's like, I'm Bobby Newport. This is my Persian Greyhound Raclette, you know, and it's this beautifully groomed dog. I mean, like this looks like a best in show dog, but he's like, it was given to me by the, and I didn't write this down. I'll probably screw it up. But he's like the pretender to the crown of Alsace-Lorraine or something like that. You'll have to look that up. Maybe even Google it, because I have no idea what I'm talking about, but it's hilarious because the Bobby Newport ads you see on the TV, no one ever like really focuses on them and talks about the ad. It's just like they kind of cut to it and show it in the background. It's just because Leslie's team is working so hard on this one ad because that's probably all they can afford. But Bobby's just got like, we've seen two so far. We'll see another great one coming up. But just like how much money the Newport family has that they've already made like numerous commercials. All right, so Leslie starts making up excuses saying that no one likes attack campaigns. Annoyed, Ben asks Leslie herself and she tells him, yeah, I hate attack ads. So she's like, first she says Donna. She's like, oh, I heard Donna doesn't like them. And then Donna's like, no, I love attack ads. And then she's like, oh, maybe Anne. Anne was saying that she didn't like what we were doing. And then Anne is just like smelling a marker. She's like, oh, this smells like cherry. So then Ben's finally just like, I got a question. Do you like attack ads? So he kind of says it in like a smart ass tone, but it's like him being like, why can't you just be on the same page as me? Or like, why didn't we discuss this again? Like I just said, why didn't they discuss this beforehand? So anyway, back over to Chris and Ron. They're talking to this dude in the public works department, and they tell him that all of his ongoing projects have been canceled, including the Pawnee River Dam. There's a really funny line though. The guy's just like, but wait, if the dam's canceled, where will the water go? And Ron's like, wherever it's going now. So it's a funny scene, but like Ron is like a prick in this part. He's just like an asshole. And I mean, he even says to the guy afterwards, he's like, doesn't matter. You know, like all that matters is that your dream is crushed and it's never going to happen. I mean, it's like over the top. Like this isn't unexpected from Ron, but it is like a bit much. I think like he could have easily just shut this guy down and just kind of walked out happily knowing that no more money is going to go to this. But the fact that he had to like tell the guy like your dream is dead, it's just like, I don't know. Not the best side of Ron, I don't think. Back over to Nope headquarters, Ben and Leslie argue over their ideas. Ben wanting to go negative and Leslie I wrote down like positive. I guess like she does want to have a positive one in the sense like not negative, but I don't know. So Tom even weighs in and he has a great line about how he likes both of their ideas, then telling us when he bets on horses, he never loses. Why? Because he bets on all the horses. So I always love this one just because, yeah. So Tom, like throughout the whole episode, it's just like, well, Leslie, I love your idea, but Ben, I also love your idea, because he just doesn't want to be on like the losing side. Like it's a big deal, which ad they choose. And you do see later, it's hilarious because Tom technically is on Ben's team, but he does end up working with Leslie too. So, but for anyone who's like, maybe I just, if you don't understand like what the joke is here, yes, if there are 8 horses and you bet on all of them, yes, you're going to pick the winner. One of them will win. 7 of them will not. So all 7 of those bets are losses. So say you put $10 on each one of them. Okay, you won $10 for the one horse that won, but you lost $70 on the other ones. So your $10 would cancel out one of those losses and you would lose $60. So every time Tom bets on every horse, he loses way more money, but he still kind of wins because he actually won the race. So it's just, I love that joke. It's just, it's a great one. All right, Ben suggests that they split up and make separate ads and see whose is better. Leslie takes Ann and Donna and Ben gets Tom and Jerry. So that's what I was talking about. Like he is assigned to Ben, but we'll get to it later. He ends up working with Leslie too. So it's pretty funny. All right. Now we're on a city street for the filming of Leslie's ad, which is going great. Until literally a gigantic bus pulls up in the background with Bobby Newport's face on it. Perfect timing. And then, yeah, this is what I was talking about. Tom, for whatever reason, is filming this. And it's funny too, because we don't see Ann or maybe we do in the background. They don't have any lines though, but we see Leslie, but why Tom is there. So it's hilarious. Like he was just assigned to Ben's team, but now he's already filming for Leslie. So yeah, just the giant bus pulls up and it's like Newport, you know, 2012 or whatever. So very funny sight gag. Over to the doctor's office, Andy takes an eye exam and is so absurdly wrong after the first line that April hits him and actually says, dude, you drove us here. Like, it's funny, but like Andy's just like, let's see, potato shape, stop sign. Like these are letters and numbers. And I don't even know if it's numbers, but he gets the first line, which is like a giant H or like an I. And then after that, it's just like, yeah, he starts like hashtag da da da. So yeah, April's just like, dude, what the fuck? Like you drove us here. It's pretty good. But we find out that April and Andy have just, they've made a ton, while they're at the hospital, they just made like a ton of appointments. I don't know if this was all in the same day. I think it was. So maybe they just sat around literally and just, they were like, hey, what do you have open? So they just, with their insurance, they're just getting a bunch of their ailments taken care of. The doctor says that it's pretty funny at one point. Yeah. When Andy's taking his exam, the doctor's just like, yeah, you're going to need glasses. And April basically just tells the doctor, no, he's not getting glasses. So from here on out, I guess they never really addressed this. If Andy got contact lenses or if he's like legally blind, just because April said no. And it's hilarious too, because the doctor has glasses, the one that's like the optometrist, I guess. And, you know, Andy's like, hey, sorry, doc, you heard the lady, too handsome for glasses. So it's kind of insulting to him as well. All right. Back with Tom, Ben, and Jerry, they work on Ben's video.
Bobby Newport's never had a real job in his life.
You got to give it more attitude. It's got to scare people. Okay. Bobby Newport.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Bobby Newport's never had a real job in his life.
Bobby Newport's never had a real job in his life.
Bobby Newport.
Bobby Newport.
Bobby Newport.
Bobby Newport.
Bobby Newport.
Newport.
Bobby.
Bobby.
Bobby Newport.
All right, now we're just wasting time, Jerry.
This is a fan favorite scene. I know when I've done like tournaments before, you know, like best, the single scene, whatever, this one always goes far, maybe even won before, but yes. And then of course how it ends so abruptly with Ben just telling Jerry, you know, it's just like all of this is Jerry wasting everyone's time. It's so funny. And then just, yeah, because we've all seen these videos with the, it's gotta be a guy that has a voice that kind of sounds like this, because then, yeah, then the, it sounds more sinister. So I just, and Ben's response to after the first one, he's like, okay, yeah. You know, after Tom tells him it's got to be like scarier. It's such an amazing scene. It's so great. So next up, one of my favorite scenes from the entire series, one, because it's hilarious, and two, because it defies logic and is the only time something like this happens. All right. So I'm going to try to explain this. Otherwise you might have to, maybe I'll put it on the Instagram. We'll see. But Chris approaches Ron and asks him if he wants to have lunch and talk about future projects. When Ron basically tells him to kick rocks, he's just like, no, I don't have any projects I'm working on, and I don't need to, and I don't want to. Chris just starts laughing hysterically while Ron just stands there. Okay. Then it pulls out and Chris is still laughing and we're in a different location. A completely different location, because the scene, all right, here we go. Starts off, they're in the hallway at City Hall. Okay. Ron comes out. Chris starts talking to him. He asks him about the project. Ron's like, no, I have no interest in doing that, whatever. Chris is like, oh my God, you're so funny. Huh? And he starts cackling, like laughing so funny. And then the next time they show Ron, you can tell, like, once you know this has happened, the first time you watch it, you're like, you're very confused, because it's like all of a sudden the background just got darker, but they are zoomed in so close on Ron still that you're only looking at him. And then they pan back out and Chris is still like the ADR, speaking of ADR, like I talked about during Invincible with them kind of shooting it and when it's not actually happening, the laugh continues, the same exact laugh. Chris is still laughing. However, they are now at a restaurant. When Chris just asked Ron if he wanted to go have lunch, he somehow got Ron to go have lunch with him. And it is so fucking just, it's so funny and just so brilliant. And like I said, nothing like this ever happens in the episode, because it doesn't make sense. Like physically, because Ron acknowledges this, which is the best part about it, because when Ron says no and Chris starts laughing, Ron just goes back to his normal, like, pouty-looking face like he always has. You know, he's not sad, but it's just like Ron, when he's not smiling, he's just like, kind of looks like a, I don't know. But all of a sudden, Chris is still laughing and Ron, his face hasn't changed. And then he does a talking head and he's like, I don't know what just happened. He's like, I told him I wasn't interested. And then all of a sudden I'm here. And he's like, did he drug me? So that's what makes this scene so funny, is that even Ron is confused by what happened and how Chris got him there. Yeah. It's just, it is an amazing scene. Yeah. I'll probably put it on Instagram, just like, because I think I did it on the Parks Rec memes page like a year or so ago. And a lot of people wrote down this, like, I never noticed that. That's incredible. And it's such a great scene. So over to Nope headquarters, another Newport ad on TV. This is the third one I was talking about. And this is my favorite one. It's just, hi, I'm Bobby Newport. My dad's friends with John Cougar Mellencamp. That's pretty cool. That's the ad. And it just ends, so they play both ads to see whose is better. Obviously this is Ben and Leslie, because they're all back and they're finished with them. Leslie's is the first one to go. And while, like, she did a good job with it, it's done really well. She never once says that she's running for city council, as Ben points out. So it's great, 'cause like, it's done. Everyone starts clapping. She's like, what do you think of that, Ben? Should we even play yours? He's like, yeah, yours is terrible. You literally didn't say the words city or council. So Leslie's kind of like, oh, well, and then they're also like during her ad, which is hilarious. It shows there's like this scrolling list of all the time, the different things that Leslie supports. And so I'm going to put these screenshots on Instagram, but a couple of them that I had to point out, these are so funny. I mean, like a lot of them are just normal ones, you know, like more police, more whatever, you know, but then when some of them, okay, here we go. Like a better business bureau. I love that because that reminds me of Leslie when she works for Wheels for Meals on Wheels and they repair Meals on Wheels trucks. But this is, yeah, we want the Better Business Bureau to be better. So one of my things is the better Business Bureau. One park ranger for every 10,000 raccoons, unionizing ice cream trucks, free public Wi-Fi. Actually, this one's not that funny. I just had to point this out because Ben does get free public Wi-Fi for Pawnee in season 6 in the final episode. So that's pretty awesome. Just the foreshadowing there. Okay, back to some of this list. Regulate the height of trampolines, and then right under it, memorial for those lost in the trampoline incident. And it's got quotes around it, so it's like the town knows about the trampoline incident. Fencing in correctional facilities. This one's insane to me because it's like, first of all, wait, do you literally mean like they need fences or like by the correctional facilities, like they don't have them? Or is she actually talking like they should have like fencing classes? And it sounds absurd, but like in Pawnee and with Leslie, I wouldn't be surprised if she actually meant fencing classes, which would still be crazy though in correctional facilities because you're essentially giving weapons to criminals. So that one's awesome. This one, okay, rebuilding the PTA, but I only put that one because of the next one. Prosecuting former PTA president Linda Trifle. Trifle's a great name too, because it's like you want to take her to court or whatever, but it's like Trifle is like, I wouldn't trifle with them or something. I wouldn't trifle with. It's great. Also, just trifle is a hilarious word. Shutting down underground shooting ranges. Jesus. And then finishing the statue of Burt Bacharach. I love that because I always think of Austin Powers when I hear Burt Bacharach. You know, just the first movie. Go back and watch it if you know what I'm talking about. Again, check Instagram for the entire list because I did take three screenshots of what I think most of it, at least. I might have missed a few, but it's a pretty good list there. Next up is Ben's video, which is an attack ad, as promised. It gets a better reaction than Leslie's. Even Anne, actually, it's pretty funny. She starts talking out loud during it when they're just like, you know, Bobby Newport got everything from his dad, his boat and everything. And it's like, don't give Bobby Newport your vote. You know, and Anne's just like, I won't. Like, she's very passionate, like liking their video. So of course, like Leslie's just kind of, she's like irritated because she's still not on board. And she really thinks like, she actually kind of like says something that's a little too much, I think, when she's like, oh yeah, I'm Ben Wyatt and I'm trying to ruin Leslie's campaign. It's just like, ruin it, like, just because like they don't agree. So it's essentially Leslie versus everyone else now, and it's her still thinking that they're all wrong, wanting to do the attack ad. But I mean, the thing is though, it's personal opinion. So I mean, like, I give Leslie credit for still just being like, you know, like, no, I don't want to do this. So quickly back over to the doctor's office, we see Andy getting an allergy test. Yeah, and if you did watch the video, you see his arm. It is pretty gross. I've had this before, so I can actually speak on allergy tests. They are pretty gross because your body, like for me, they did, like when they showed Andy's arm, I got that, but I also got a bunch of them on my back. And if you'll remember, whatever episode it was for Citizens of Pawnee, for this podcast, I talked about it when I first, when we got Lucy, we did not know that I was allergic to dogs because we haven't had a dog. Joni and I, we had a dog, another short-haired pit bull, but we had her like 10 years ago. And I don't know, I guess like, I don't know if this is a developed thing, like a new allergy, or if I've had it my whole life. But either way, yes, I've had an allergy test before, and it is gross because you just get little like needles in your back with like a little serum. It's like, okay, this one is for like ragweed. This one's for dust mites. This one's for dog. This one's for cat. This one's for, you know, like guinea pigs, whatever. And you just have a bunch of little, everything you're allergic to is going to react. It's not a bad enough, you know, thing that they give you that it's going to kill you. You know, like you've got a, like, I don't know if I still have those pictures. They're pretty gross, though. I'm not going to post that. But anyway, just saying, I kind of not liked that scene with Andy's allergy test, but I was just kind of like, yep, that's how it is. It is kind of gross. So, and then it's just kind of like you get a briefing from Andy about everything else that he's having looked at. Really funny line is he talks about how a doctor, he's like, someone even touched my penis. And April's just like, yeah, and that wasn't even a doctor. And like Andy, like, he kind of looks over like he's not sure if she's telling the truth, but also he might be kind of scared that maybe it wasn't a doctor. But now it's time to vote for the best video. Ben's wins unanimously as Leslie calls her friends traitors. And, you know, naturally she has to like apologize to Anne about it, but no one else, you know, it's just like, oh my God, you guys are terrible. Except you, Anne, you know. But she like retracts immediately. Like I said, Ben finally convinces her to run the ad that he made. So now we're over at the TV station and Leslie tackles Ben before he can hand off the disc. So neither of the ads get aired. This seems like, I don't know, because Ben's standing there and then, you know, they're at the TV station. Leslie just comes out of nowhere and like bum rushes him. It just happens very abruptly. And they're like fighting on the ground. And then it just kind of like, I think it cuts to a commercial at that point. It comes back and Tom is now giving Leslie and Ben the news as they're both like sitting down, like after this little scuffle. Yeah, and he's just like, hey, I have got bad news and bad news. You know, like the bad news is that the ad's not going to air. And, you know, like, and then the other one is like, we can't get them back. So I don't know if they broke them or what happened or if they were destroyed, but it just seems like, I know they had a deadline, but if these two were like fighting over it, like I would have rather seen Leslie telling someone no, because at this point it just seems like, well, was there damage to it, or did she actually stand up and say, no, we're not airing this? So I don't know. It's kind of weird. But yeah, Ben just kind of tells her, he's like, I understand that you don't want to do this, but you're getting destroyed. Like, he's winning by 70 points. You've just got to be tougher. Like, you have to be tougher. So they, you know, she agrees with him and we'll, you know, we'll see what happens. All right. So now we're back at the Parks Department. We're in Ron's office where Chris calls, Chris is like out in the hallway and he just like can't seem to leave Ron alone for whatever. Like, Ron doesn't understand like why Chris is just like bugging him so much, but it's great because he's like Ron Swanson from out in the hallway, and Ron grabs the remote from two episodes ago. Like, speaking of the Christmas stuff, she gave Andy the gold record, and this one, she gave Ron the little remote to close the door. So Chris walks in right as Ron presses the button. So it's hilarious. Like, the door slams behind Chris, but not in time to block him from getting in. So it's actually very funny. But yeah, he just talks to Ron a little bit. He invites him to some, I don't know, I forgot exactly what it is. But what I like here is that over Chris's shoulder, you can see the painting from season two. Not the painting, but the little drawing that Mark Brendanowitz made when they were doing the mural contest after someone defaced another one of the terrible murals. But anyway, they were the episode, the camel, when Mark was like, he gave his idea and they're all like, oh, that idea sucks. And he's like, yeah, but it'll win. And Ron even said, he's like, that's a great idea. That'll win. So I love that he kept that drawing and put it on his wall. But yeah, I believe you've seen it a couple times before this, but I think this is the first time it's like really predominant, like that it's there. And then as Chris leaves, Donna comes in, and when Ron asks her, he's just like, what the hell's going on? Do you have any idea why Chris like won't leave me alone? And she's just like, well, you know, Ben's Leslie's campaign manager now. So I think Chris just, he misses his buddy, you know, and he's maybe just kind of like clinging on to you now because he's lonely. So back over to the hospital, Andy and April are about ready to check out. However, they're shocked when they find out that there's a $500 copay. Yikes! Of course, these two have no money, and a couple episodes back, they were also trying to figure out how they were going to pay for Andy's college course, and that was just one. So obviously, they don't have 500 bucks. So to try and avoid paying, Andy and April dine and dash, until they get outside and Andy runs smack right into an ambulance. And it's just such a great line. He's just like, all right, here we go. And April's like happy. She's like still like ailing as she's like got like ice in her mouth, you know, because she just got like a tooth pulled or something like that. But it's so funny. Andy's just like, yeah, they're running out. He's looking backwards over his shoulder, and then he just smacks right into it like a paramedic that is just parked right in front. It's so good, and he's on the ground. He's just like, oh my God, call an ambulance, not the one I just ran into. So just like twice in this episode, more great physical comedy by Chris Pratt, that one, and then him falling off the chair. Again, if they're, I'm pretty sure this one's him, because I mean, like, he's looking over his shoulder, so we see his face when he runs into the thing. Also, a shout out to my buddy Eric. I don't think he listens to the show, but he was one of the first people that tried to get me into this show. And I remember he would talk about this scene to me all the time. So, man, I got into Parks and Rec later than I thought. Or maybe this was just one of the first scenes we talked about, but I remember talking to him about Andy running into the paramedic. It was awesome. All right, so now we see the ad video that they actually do use. Like, so Ben and Leslie put one together. It's a video of Leslie from 1985 talking about how even then she wanted to make Pawnee better than it is. So it's cut with some of Bobby Newport's idiotic lines. So it's not really like a negative ad, but it's more just factual. It's just, so yeah, it's Leslie in her bedroom. And it just says like Leslie Knope 1985 or whatever, something like that. Or either way, she was 10 years old when it was made. And, or no, she was eight or 10, I don't know, but it's 1985. And she's just like, yeah, you know, like my name's Leslie Knope. So it's actual, you can tell it's old footage just by how it is. They just like her mom had it or whatever. And they're like, let's just use this one. Because even then it shows you like how much Leslie Knope loved Pawnee. And with Bobby Newport, it's like, he's like, nah, people keep asking me what I'm going to do if I win city council. And I'm pretty sure I'll figure it out. So really, they're not saying anything negative. They're just using his own ad stuff, just kind of showing like, all right, let's let you guys figure this out. So back over to Chris's office, we see Ron come in and he's got Kyle with him. Yes, shoeshine Stan Kyle. And it's just great. Like Ron's trying to pawn him off on Kyle, like, because he thinks that he needs a friend. Like I just said, and what's even better is because like, I don't think we ever see Ron interact with Kyle. So it's funny that he brings him up and he's like, this is my friend and he's into the same things you like. And his name is Dennis. And as he's saying Dennis, Kyle's like, Kyle, and then he's like, Kyle, and he like corrects himself. But I just love Dennis. Like, where did he get that name from? I always love it when people like are so wrong with the names. So then Chris kind of pulls Ron off to the side, and we find out that he was actually kind of auditioning Ron for the future assistant city manager job to replace Ben, because remember, he resigned in disgrace because he was having an affair with Leslie. So that's all Chris was doing. It wasn't because he was lonely. He just wanted to like see if Ron was interested in the job, or if he was, you know, I guess assistant city manager material. So maybe he was just trying to see like how their chemistry worked out. Now we are at like we're at some kind of like club or a restaurant. Bobby Newport has called a private meeting with Ben and Leslie, and he's really upset about her video, and he begs them basically to just hand the election over. It's just such a pathetic look for him, because he's like, hey guys, come on, man. I mean, like, that was like, all my friends are like sending me messages and stuff, and they're just kind of giving me crap. Can you just back out of the election? Like, he literally just starts asking Leslie to like give up. Can you just stop? Like, I want it. I want the election, you know? And she's just like, what the fuck? Like, her and Ben are both kind of like, are you serious? Like, what the hell is he talking about? So that's pretty much what it is. But then there's like a really funny scene when Bobby's just like, oh, and he leans back and he hits his head on the back of the bench, like the sofa thing they're sitting on. And now I've heard that this was actually a left-in blooper where he really did it, because he comes up and he's like, oh, I thought that was padded. I guess that was real. Like, he didn't know that wasn't. So when he hits his head and comes up and says that that was legit, him actually saying, I didn't know that was padded, after having like just knocked his head on the back. So then it's funny too, because Bobby asks Leslie and Ben if the girl from Leslie's video could make a video for him too. And Leslie's just like dumbfounded. She's like, that girl, that's me. That's me as a 10-year-old. And he's just like, how'd you do that? So it's just, yeah. So you catch on early that like, yeah, Bobby Newport is a moron. Like, this guy's a complete idiot. But just like when you see him blubbering, asking Leslie, you know, like, how do I, first of all, how did you get yourself as a 10-year-old? And then also just how he's like, come on, give me the election, please. Come on, you know, like, I want it. And just like, it's funny. but it's really pathetic. And yeah, Leslie and Ben are now just kind of like, holy shit, like, this is who we're up against. It's nuts. All right, so then just the tag of the episode is April and Andy sitting outside of the hospital, just kind of comfort each other, reeling from their random operations. So I don't know if they're like waiting for a cab, or maybe after Andy ran into the bus, they're just like, hey, let's just take a quick little break. Because again, she still got like the gauze in her mouth, so she had like a tooth pulled or something. But yeah, it's just, it's kind of a sweet scene at the end with them just like holding each other, because it's kind of like, eh, who cares, we don't have money, we don't have anything, like, we have each other though. So I don't know what they did. I mean, clearly you don't, I don't think you have to pay the see, I don't know if you ever have to pay the deductible immediately, but they'd get billed either way. So yeah, all right, so on IMDb, this episode sitting at an 8.3. I actually think this is a great episode. Not like an 8.3 is bad or anything, but I mean, like, I would probably give this one like a 9. Like, this is a wonderful episode. First of all, welcome to Parks and Rec, Bobby Newport. Oh my God. And everything that you're going to be bringing, like, we'll meet Jen Barkley very soon too. I love when Anne stands up to April. Hey, smartass, so do you. And then also just when April comes in and makes a shitty comment and Anne's just like, you want to try that again? That's awesome. the Bobby Newport ads in like commercials, they're just so ridiculous, they're wonderful. Hey, my dad's friends with John Cougar Mellencamp. It's pretty cool. The Ron subconsciously teleporting, I don't know, again, one of my favorite scenes in the entire series, because it just defies logic and it is so incredibly funny. Leslie's list during her ad, I named off some of them, but no joke, I named off probably, what, I don't know, 10 things. There's like, I don't know, probably like 150. It's crazy. Maybe not that many, but like over 100. Bobby Newport. That whole scene with Jerry, Ben, and Tom is wonderful. And then just like Bobby groveling, just the whole like, come on, give it to me. And like realizing like it's a big deal when you just see right off the bat that it's like, Leslie's going to have to beat this idiot, and it's not going to be easy because he has so much power, like with just the amount of money his family has. And then also the influence behind Sweetums, which is like the biggest corporation in Pawnee and employs half the town. So yeah, so that is The Opposition, and that's going to wrap up this episode. If you'd like to contact the show, citizenofpawnee@gmail.com is how you can do that. Please like and follow on Instagram at Citizens of Pawnee Podcast and at Parks Rec Memes. Next week, I'll be covering Season 4, Episode 13, Bowling for Votes. Thank you for listening to Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast. My name's Brian, and I'll see you next Tuesday. When Ron meets Diane Lewis, he is there to fix a pothole in front of her house.